did their research, great, because come on in for Torah for Today, and we'll get to all those great points you have. Now you don't have to worry. Did the rabbi say that already? He's not going to. I am going to speak out of Malachi. So the Haftorah portion was Malachi 1:1 through 2:7, and it has some good word in there for us. So that's where we're going to dig in. Now, Malachi, as you know, is an old covenant prophet who spoke for Adonai about the same time that Ezra and Nehemiah were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. In fact, many believe he prophesied in between the time that Nehemiah was governor the first time and the second time, because what happened was he helped to start rebuilding the walls. He was the governor. He went back to the king for a while and then came back for a second time to be the governor. So some people think it was between that time that he actually prophesied. Now, the beginning of Malachi, he addressed the priests, the descendants of Levi, the Kohanim, and he says some fairly stern words to them. Here's what he says. He says that they're making offerings that are detestable to Adonai. So let's look, starting in Malachi 1, verse 6. And he says this: a son honors his father, and a servant his master. So if I am father, he's talking for Adonai here, if I am father, where is my honor? If I am master, where is my reverence? Says Adonai Titzvaot. You, Kohanim, you despise my name. But you say, how did we despise your name? By offering defiled bread on my altar. But you say, how did we defile you? When you say, the table of Adonai is despicable. They don't even realize what they're doing. They don't even realize that they're dishonoring Adonai at that time. And how were they doing it? Maybe it was a mixture. Maybe they were, you know, mixing in their offering at the same time that they're making the offer to Adonai, they're making an offering to other gods, small g gods who are not really gods. Maybe they're not giving their very best to him. We'll talk about that in a little bit. In fact, there were four ways that they were not honoring God. Four ways that they were actually dishonoring Adonai, or some people would even put it, they were mistreating him, mistreating Adonai. So the first way was they were not offering their best to him. And we see this in Malachi 1, 8 through 10. It says there, when you bring a blind one as sacrifice, is it not wrong? Or when you bring a lame or sick one, is it not wrong? Offer them now to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Or will he acknowledge you favorably? Says Adonai Tzvaot. So now implore God's favor. Then will he be gracious to you? Since this has come from your hands, will he accept any of it from you? Says Adonai Tzvaot. If just one of you would shut the door and not light my altar uselessly, I have no delight in you, says Adonai Tzvaot, nor will I accept any offering from your hand. Wow. Adonai was saying through Malachi to the Kohanim that they were not offering their best to him. And because of this, even if you throw in a good one every once in a while, even if you give me your very best, even if you give me your full efforts every once in a while, thinking, you know what? I really need something here. Let me throw in some extra tithe into the offering this week. That way next week I'll be blessed. Adonai doesn't want that. Adonai will not honor that. Adonai is great and greatly to be honored all the time. Therefore, we need to greatly honor him all the time. You know, it's a reminder. Adonai doesn't need us to worship him. He doesn't need us to honor him. He doesn't need us to bless him. He's self-sufficient. We need to be the ones to honor him and to sacrifice to him. It benefits us so much more than it'll benefit him. That's why we do it. He can survive without us. We can't survive without him. Without him, we are lost to the prince of the air, Satan, for all eternity. Now, Malachi says that Israel offers defiled food as part of their sacrifices. Although from the outside, those looking in might think they're doing the will of Torah by making some sacrifice, it's not really fulfilling Torah if it's not their very best. If it's marred in any way, that's not fulfilling Torah. Torah calls to be the best for the best. Don't offer the second best. Don't offer the worst even. You know, some people just want to, you know, you look at the effort that they make. They're dragging themselves into synagogue and they're sitting in their seats and they're going, praise Adonai. Hallelujah. Are we done yet? Adonai is not going to accept that as a blessing to him or to a sacrifice to him. We need to offer him our best. We need to be consistent because he's a consistent God. Inconsistency is not a way of praising and honoring him. All right, second way. They were not offering worship consistently, right? This is what I'm saying just a moment ago. Very similar to the first one, but instead of the physical offering, they were now, he's now, Malachi's now speaking of the offering of worship, the offering of praise to Adonai. Malachi 1:11. For from sunrise to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name with a pure grain offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says Adonai Tzvaot. And the verse really tells us two different things. It tells us that his name will be great among the nations, among all the people of the world, Jew and Gentile, regardless of their background. All the nations will worship Adonai along with the portion of Israel that continues to worship correctly, if they worship correctly. But there's another message in the verse which fits into our message today. It says, from sunrise to the setting of the sun, his name is great and therefore should be worshiped and praised. For us today, it's a reminder that Shabbat is not the day to worship and praise him, but one of 7 days to worship and praise him. You don't just save it all up for one day. He's a God of every day. How do we possibly praise and worship from sunrise to sunset, as it says? How do we fit it into our life that we live? Yeah, there are times that we're going to have to concentrate on the task we're at hand, right? So I worked at a bank for many years, lots of numbers to crunch. I had to concentrate on that. You know, I couldn't have one hand on the calculator and one hand praising Adonai. You know, it just, you know, you would wish that it could work that way, but it really doesn't. I had to concentrate on what I was doing. So how do I praise him all day? It's by putting the full effort into the work, because everything that we do is for Adonai. It's by, at the end of the day, praising Him for being able to do the work, for Him providing it for me, for Him making provisions. That's how we praise Him day, every day, all day. You know, there's going to be a time that we really, truly are going to be praising Him eternally for every day, every minute of the day. When is that? That is when our time here on earth is done and we stand before the throne. Could you imagine standing before the throne of God and not praising and honoring Him? And I'm going to say, you'll never get tired of it. You know, I know there are people who get tired of praise and worship. But there, you're never going to get tired of it. So you might as well practice here. Because every time, you're going to see a new facet of who Adonai is. And it's never going to run out. For all eternity, He's going to appear new and different. So we'll be praising Him forever at that time. Now, the third way they were dishonoring Him was they were not recognizing the honor and joy of honoring the King, which kind of ties in a little bit with what I was just saying in point number two. So Malachi 1:12 and the beginning of 13a, "But you are profaning it when you say, 'The table of Adonai is defiled.' And as for its fruit," its food, despicable. "You also say, 'It's so tedious.' And you sniff at it," says Adonai Tzvaot. It's so tedious. We don't really want to do this right now. We're bored of this. We want to do our own thing. The instructions of Adonai are a burden. I don't want to do it anymore. I've actually heard people say that about Shabbat. Shabbat's a burden. You know, I got to stop doing what I was doing. I got to run home and make myself my home prepared. I got to, you know. And this is why a lot of Jewish people look at the Shabbat and go, "Oy, I can't turn on the lights. I can't turn on the stove. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't. They don't recognize the honor and privilege and joy. Now, first of all, perhaps if it's not an honor, privilege, and joy that you feel, maybe you're doing it wrong. Just saying. Because that's not God. He doesn't want that for you. It's not meant to be a chore. A pleasure is what it's meant to be. A joy. Now, what's the difference between a chore and a pleasure? It's the heart attitude that goes with it. What's the difference between taking care of a child for babysitting, perhaps, and your child, the one that you gave birth to and love? It's the heart attitude towards the child. How much more can you forgive and love and dote on your own child? And even if you're babysitting someone that you love, it's just not the same, is it? As much as we may want it to be while we're doing it. But it's the heart attitude that makes the difference between the two. The difference between thinking about the instructions of Adonai as a chore and as a pleasure is that heart attitude. Do you love coming to Adonai and pleasing Him and doing for Him? You know, when you have your spouse, maybe they're ill, in bed, just not feeling well to do on their own. I personally think it's a pleasure to do. I enjoy doing for my wife. It's not a chore, because my heart attitude towards my wife is, I want to do. Same with Adonai. Is it a pleasure or a chore? I see that heart attitude in the congregation. There are people here in the congregation, many people here in the congregation, that has the heart attitude of, I want to do for Adonai. It's not that they want to do for me. It's not that they want to do for you. They want to do for Adonai. That's why they can do 3 and 4 and 5 different jobs for Adonai. Having that heart attitude pleases Adonai. It makes all your work easier when you do it for Adonai. It makes your job easier at work. At the congregation, it makes it easier when you volunteer for things. For your neighbor, you know, doing things for your neighbor in your neighborhood, it makes it easier when you're doing it for Adonai. And I'm not saying fool yourself into thinking everything is fun, but understand the truth that when you do for Adonai, when you desire to do for Adonai, it becomes easier. It's not that chore. It can be that pleasure. Colossians 3:23-25 says this: whatever you do, work at it from the soul as for the Lord and not for people. For you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as a reward. It is to the Lord Messiah you are giving service. For the one doing wrong will be paid back for what he did wrong, and there is no favoritism. Rav Shaul says, work at it from the soul to the Lord. Not for the people you're doing it for. Do it for the Lord. Not for what you receive here on earth. Probably not even for what you receive ultimately when he calls us back to him. But no, you will be rewarded at the end. You will be the one on the receiving end. Not from the people, from the Lord. Verse 25 says that the one doing wrong will be paid back. But the opposite is true too. The one doing right will be paid back. And when do both of these people get paid back? The one doing right and the one doing wrong? In the end. At the end, when you have your last breath. That's the ultimate reward. And I hate to say it, but the ultimate punishment as well. So far we've got that there were three ways that they were mistreating Adonai. They didn't offer him the best. They weren't offering worship consistently. They weren't recognizing the honor and joy of honoring the king. And fourth is, they were giving from plunder. They were giving what was stolen. Malachi 1:13b-14. So you bring plunder, the lame and the sick. Then you bring them as an offering. Should I accept them from your hand, says Adonai. So Adonai puts not just the lame and sick offering, which we've spoken about earlier, but the offering that you get from plundering, from stealing, perhaps from lying, from whatever way it is that you're doing wrong. Goes back to the previous point. You know, each point builds on itself. when you work, do your work as to the Lord and give your full efforts. Now, do you do that with your employer? Because that's one way of plundering your employer. And I know I was there. I worked for a lot of years in a secular job. So if you sit back and you're collecting a salary and you're not giving your full effort, you sit back and you say, no one's watching me now, I'll just coast for a while. That's plunder. Stealing from him. He's paying you to do something and you're not. You're taking money for doing nothing. You're not giving your full efforts. But you can say, and I know some will say, but there are plenty of times in Scripture that Adonai instructs us to plunder the enemy. That's true. But we also know that we do not battle flesh and blood, but the powers of principalities of the air. Therefore, plundering the person, company, insurance company, or anything else who would give you funds that you didn't work for, that's not fighting the enemy. That's not plundering the enemy. That's just plundering. That's just stealing. It's not right in the sight of Adonai. Besides, it's not the instruction of Adonai. If Adonai gives you instruction and says, go plunder these people, you go and you plunder the people. That's his will. For whatever reason it might be that he's showing them something and he's using you. But if you're going to do that, you better be darn sure that you're not speaking to yourself and that he's the one speaking to you. So here we have four ways that the priests were not honoring or they were mistreating Adonai. They were instructions for us as well. You look at them intently, you know, very little in Scripture is written just for the people who it says they're written to. Most of the time, they're instructions for us as well. Otherwise, why bother telling us about them? In their totality, they come down really to one thing to keep in mind. They were not fully giving glory to Adonai and honor to Adonai that he deserves. It's the bottom line. All these four ways, bottom line, just not giving him the honor and glory that he deserves. You know, when my father, growing up, my father had this saying, you know, a job half done is a job undone. Now, I had to kind of modify the words a little. Because he would say, a job half donkey done, is a job undone. Maybe I could insert the word there if I say, well, you know what I'm saying. You got it. Adonai feels the same way. He says, you know, if only you wouldn't even come and light the fires in my temple. If you're going to do half, don't do it all. Don't do it at all. Let someone else do it. But we know that within our walk with Adonai, there are some things no one else can do but us. We're responsible for our own walk with him. Our salvation or atonement can only be gifted directly to us. It can't be shared by someone else. Just because you grew up in a family that attended a congregation, just because your parents believed in the Lord, salvation through the Messiah, if you were just being dragged to church and you were just sitting there, it did you no good through eternity. Forced attendance would do no good for your eternity. So it sounds like all bad news through Malachi today, huh? But that's not the case. We flip forward to chapter 2. Adonai says, "Do not leave." Adonai does not leave us or them alone without hope. At the end of the Haftorah portion, Malachi 2, 5 through 7 says this: "My covenant was with him for life and shalom, and I gave them to him for reverence. So he received me, and he was awestruck by my name. Instruction of truth was in his mouth, and justice was not found on his lips. In shalom and uprightness he walked with me, and he turned many from iniquity. For a Kohen's lips should guard knowledge, and instruction must be sought from his mouth. For he is a messenger of Adonai Tzvaot." This is the description that the priesthood was supposed to be. It's what Adonai had in mind when he established them. Many of the rabbis believe that Malachi was actually talking about Phinehas or Pinchas. You'll remember from Numbers 25, which we remember he entered the tent, drove the spear through the Jewish man into the Moabite woman when Adonai was angry that they were intermarrying with the women of the land. The description of Pinchas and his traits in Scripture are very much like the wording description of the priests. I'm sorry, can we? I don't know if there's some talking in here, and I'm normally not distracted. Today I am. I'm sorry. They were to act as the vessel that Adonai could pour out into. And they were to pour out into the people of Israel. Malachi was saying that the priests were teaching but not living out the word. That was the problem. They were teaching to the fullest and sometimes falling more than just a little bit short. This is not only the description of what Adonai wanted in the priests, but it's also the description of Messiah Yeshua. He was to come, and we believe he has come. He's the one who had instruction in his mouth. There was no iniquity, no injustice found on his lips. He walked in shalom and uprightness, and he walked with Adonai. He's the one who turned many from iniquity. And he's still turning many from iniquity and bringing salvation to them. It is from him that we gain the wisdom to turn towards knowledge and instruction. He taught us Torah. He's the messenger of Adonai Tzvaot. There's only the one priest who did fulfill all these descriptions. He's also the king. He's Yeshua. He's the one who Peter spoke about when he said in 1 Peter, quoting Isaiah 53:9, and I've got them side by side on the screen so you can see there, he's quoting almost word for word. Isaiah 53:9 says, "His grave was given with the wicked, and by a rich man in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth." 1 Peter 2:22, "He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth." He fulfills the prophecies of who the Messiah was going to be. Isaiah says, no violence buried with the death, no violence, no deceit. 1 Peter says, no sin, no deceit. He was, is, always will be the only way to salvation, to atonement for all eternity. And the direction for us is plain. We are called to be priests. Just as it said just a little bit earlier in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As the ones called to be the royal priesthood, we too need to live the instructions of Malachi. We are the priests. He was speaking to the priests. We need to follow his instructions. But we also, like the priests of Malachi's time, are fallen, sinful, whether you think so or not. They didn't realize it. There are many people in this world today who don't realize just how sinful they are. This is the reason that we're so very thankful that Adonai told us in Malachi of the Savior, of Messiah Yeshua. And it's by no accident that first he tells them their failures, then he tells them their salvation. Tells them their failures, and then tells them how to fix and cover over those mistakes through the blood of Messiah Yeshua. We are called to be those same people. We are called to be the priests, and that's twofold for us. For those who are believers today, that's twofold. First is to live the life of Torah. Walk out the words that he told us to make those true, pure offerings of salvation by giving our very best for the very best. The second, just like the priests, they were to teach the people the word of God. We need to be out there in the world today letting the people know who Adonai is, his plan for salvation, and the fulfillment of his plan, the blood of the Messiah, Yeshua. That's who we are called to be. That's how we will make the right sacrifices, the right offerings. Speaking the words without walking the walk is a mixed sacrifice. In Malachi, Adonai told us that's not acceptable. It wasn't acceptable then. It's not acceptable now. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. You've given us your instructions. Father, forgive us for the times that we've fallen short, just like the priests in Malachi's time. For the times we've not offered you our very best. For the times that we've not worshiped you consistently. For the times that we've not recognized the honor and the joy of honoring you. And for the times that we've given from our plunder. Ruach HaKodesh, come. Enlighten the corners of our hearts where we're hiding the sins so that we may expel them out through the blood of Messiah Yeshua. So we're not thinking that we can hide them from you. For we know there's nothing that you do not see. Ruach HaKodesh, help us in our walk so that we may become more like you. Help us in our walk so we may tell the world who you are, so they may become more like you as well. For we understand and we know that your will is none should be lost. And we understand and we know it's your will that you will use us as vessels towards that goal. So we just ask that we would become vessels for a noble purpose and not ignoble vessels for an ignoble purpose. Father, we thank you that you've picked us up, cleansed us by the blood, and have used us and will continue to use us. Ruach, we just thank you for all that you've done in our life. We just praise you and honor you with our whole heart, strength, mind, and soul. Amen.